Well, another day. Boy, it's been a hot one. Welcome to our usual Wednesday soiree right here on Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. Jeff Bennett, your host this evening, live on this 20th day of July 2011, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. As we do each time this, or each Wednesday, Roger will be joining us in just a moment. I understand he is connected with us now. Interesting, a late-day headline we've come across from Reuters. The Fed is planning for potential default. Now, what does that mean? Today, Joe Walsh from Illinois, a good friend of Rick Biasada's, was on Fox News and got in a very heated argument. Walsh is a freshman in Congress. Joe takes no prisoners. He is absolutely kicking rear end. He got into a huge argument with Chris Matthews the other night, and basically was not kind to Matthews, basically told him he was an idiot. Boy, I love it. He says, look, we were sent here to do a job, caving in to idle threats by the resident of the White House ain't part of the equation. Beyond that, I'm not going into market reports or anything tonight. We have got a full hour. And frankly, I could use 2 hours tonight with Roger. And to be honest, we could use three. But so as not to waste any more time, Roger Sales, how's life in the 25% inflation rate of Argentina this week? Hello?
Hear me?
Roger? Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah, there you go. I hope my voice holds out, is what I said. Nice to be back with you. Thanks, as always, for having me, Jeff, and for all of you who tuned in and want to listen. And thanks for, you know, those cards and letters. I really appreciate the feedback that I've gotten from some of you, and we're going to try and answer some of the questions that you've sent in tonight and talk about these things in generalities because, you know, as I've stated to you all along since we got into this, I don't have all the answers, okay?
The feedback we've had this week has been amazing. And Roger and I spoke about this earlier. We are watching an increasing degree of intelligence every single week goes by with the questions and the responses that are coming from this audience. We got to go to a quick break. We'll be back with Roger Sales, and we're going to get it on.
Don't you know each cloud contains a pen is from heaven? You'll find your fortune.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608, 1-908-691-2608, or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Welcome back to Wednesday night installment of Life, Liberty, and all that jazz. Jeff Bennett here along with my Wednesday co-host, Roger Sales. I'm going to turn a good portion of this over to Roger at this point. Roger, you and I spoke earlier today. There's some things I believe you wanted to discuss that gets into this discussion of UCC versus the Admiralty law thing. And then I know we've got some really intense emails we want to address, so I'm going to let you get started with that aspect of it, and I'm diligently listening right along with the audience.
Okay, and I'm going to kind of fly on the cuff here a little bit because I want everybody to understand that my main motivation in all of this is, as Jeff and I have discussed a couple of times on the air, I don't have to be doing this, okay? I'm doing this for one reason, and that's because I feel it's my duty. Remember, we go back to our little formula of law, R plus D equals R. You get rights, and with those rights, you have correlated duties. And if either the duties aren't performed or the rights are infringed upon, you've got a remedy. And that's our little law formula. Well, I figure I've been given all this wonderful knowledge and understanding, and that there's a duty that I've got to try and get this information out, because as I see the whole world in turmoil around us everywhere, and in such danger of crashing down in so many different areas practically simultaneously, I would hate for whatever we're all collectively about to go through, no matter where we are in the world, I would hate for this to happen and this information to get buried and future people to not have a chance to understand how probably the greatest country in the history of the world was taken down to its knees in a method that still to this day, about the only people that understand it in the world are the people that have listened to these broadcasts and studied this. And there's a number of you that this has touched your, it's tickled your ears and it's touched your heart, because I've heard from you. And I see, and you tell me what you're doing. And I think that the one thing that I wanted to talk about here was this motive of getting this information out, because that's the most important thing. If we could get this to a point where we almost, Jeff, you remember, I don't know whether you want to call it the 100 monkey theory or the 1,000 monkey theory, but yeah. Either one, whichever number you want to hang on it, that multi-monkey theory, to where all of a sudden an idea just catches, okay? And it's almost like a combustion thing where the heat of under a microscope gets so much, a magnifying glass as you're centering it gets so much that it just explodes into fire. And that's what I'd like to see, because that's when you're going to start giving these people some real problems, because they know how damning this information is, all right? And it is, as I've told you from the start and have known for many years myself, about the most clear-cut stripping information to make your enemy truly visible as to who they are, what they do, and how they do things of anything that's ever been presented to you, because it's the most powerful thing that's ever been presented to me, and I've lived with it for all these years. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's really an important concept, and we get into, you know, you're going to have, everybody's going to have something that's going to affect them. You're going to have your warrior types that are going to get out there and want to pave the way. You're going to have people that it's just going to hit them, and they're going to sit on it for a while because it changes your whole life. As those of you who have gotten into this in any depth know, it totally changes your perspective on virtually everything in your life. Okay, it's powerful information, and it's not just about taxes, and it's not even just about being free. It's about all this personal responsibility and these great philosophical concepts that have been around for thousands of years. And I'm not trying to get too deep, but I mean, that's really the ball of wax that we're playing with here. Okay. So, I think at this point, the most important thing that any of you could do, and I've said this several times, is to try and make this information yours. Now, I know that's difficult when all you've got to is radio information and these broadcasts to listen to, although I think that that's a good start. We've made some progress on the book, and we're making progress on it. And I think, and you know, cross your fingers and knock on wood, and in a few weeks down the line, we're going to have that thing ready for people to get it. And that should give you a lot more that you can sink your teeth into. And I'm very pleased with the progress we've made. So that and the little CD, which will give you some more background on this legal stuff and a little bit of understanding, and a focal point, where we don't have to get on and do 3 hours of radio to have somebody up to speed. You can do it in a shorter period of time and point them to a website. So those things are important, you know. But just try and make the information yours and realize that if it's something that you are going to move on, and this is some of the questions we're going to talk about tonight, is I don't have a clear-cut answer for all this stuff. I can tell you in my experience what happened to me and the things that I accomplished, the ooh-ah moments, because I had a couple of real ooh-ah moments, especially when I was getting ready to leave the country, and what other people have done with some of this in years past that worked. Whether some of that stuff will still work or not, I don't know. I don't know that we really have totally got how they've got this whole thing layered together yet. A lot of this is trial and error. You know, you're going to take your affidavit, somebody's going to go to the driver's license division and try and get a regular driver's license with a, I'm a non-resident. Here's an affidavit, but I'm still entitled to this driver's license. You can't keep me from a right, if you're going to require this, of having this, to be able to travel on these roads. So, and that's just things some people are just going to have to get out there with big kahunas, and they're going to have to do it, you know? So.
Well, and that's going to get us into one of our emails when you're ready for it, because I think our friend down in Texas asked some pretty darn good questions that have got to be the kind of questions that, to be honest with you, Roger, have got to be on the minds of a lot of the listeners that have followed this series for the past two and a half months.
Well, they're on the minds of anybody that does this, because you're constantly, if you're thinking of living this way, you're constantly thinking about which landmine am I going to step on next. As we get into that, because that'll probably take up the majority of the show, but I wanted to go back and touch on this because this is important, and it's this difference between admiralty law, which you hear everybody saying that they're using, and the Uniform Commercial Code, which is the old law merchant. I'm going to have to cough here. Hold my. And I'm going to read you, at the time of the founding of our country, these are all the different systems of laws that were operating in England. You had the common law, which was called the King's Bench. And if you were going to go in there, you could be blindfolded, see, because all of these systems of law had different courtrooms and different buildings. And they all called the presiding person different names, and they all had different names for the actions that were taking in the lexicon of the nomenclature of what they were doing within their own different jurisdictions. So in common law, you called the name of the magistrate, if you will, a judge or a justice. Over in equity, in another separate building, you call that guy the chancellor. And then you had admiral, and you called him the admiral or the commissioner. So there's three separate bodies of law right there: common law, equity, and admiralty. On top of that, you had the law merchant, which was an operating, as we've talked about in the past. This is the law merchants, goes all the way back to the Phoenicians, probably maybe even further back than that, the earliest known traders. It's morphed over all of these thousands of years, and they now call it, in our country, the Uniform Commercial Code. And you also had another branch of law, which was called manorial law. And that was the law that dealt with the serfs that had, where they had their own courts on the manors that dealt with the Lord's property, the serfs. On this Uniform Commercial Code, the reason they call it uniform is because it applies, it's equal in all 50 states. It's the same reason you've got all these other codes, like the Uniform Traffic Code of Georgia, Uniform Statutes of Arizona, whatever they want to call them. They may change the name a little bit, and they may not be exactly succinct, but all of those laws are uniform, so they apply in all 50 states. Okay. So if you get into all of that, the important thing that I wanted to get into here is over, if we go back to our little formula, R plus D equals R, the important thing we're going to talk about for a second is the remedy. Okay, because all of these different bodies of law had not only different nomenclatures and actions, but they all had different remedies. And the thing that's very important that ironclads, in my mind, and I think in law, that we're dealing with the Uniform Commercial Code here, is in all of those branches of law, under the law merchant, Uniform Commercial Code, and manorial law, is the only place where the remedy was self-help. Hmm. And self-help is lien, levy, garnishment, and seizure. You don't have those as remedies in admiralty law, period. Okay? So I think that that's pretty clear cut as to what we're dealing with here. All right? Plus, if you wanted to take it a step further logically, the Uniform Commercial Code is the body of law that handles all promissory notes and negotiable paper. And that is the basis of the entire monetary system, which we've covered in some broadcasts on the past. And we may ought to cover again Tom Schopf's material and how this is all set up to where they pledge you now that your property over here is collateral for these bonds. And the bonds are what they're having trouble with right now.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Nobody wants to buy them, okay?
Yep.
So all of a sudden, you get a bunch of aware people out there going, hey, I'm not collateral anymore. Okay, so this is powerful information that we're kicking around here. And I don't know what all the ramifications are going to be, honestly. The only thing I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, is this information needs to get out there. Okay, and it needs to be known by some percentage of nucleus of people so we can go back, and I love to use their slogans on them, so that we can go back and say, never again.
Never again.
Okay? Never again. Now,
speaking of never again, please allow me a quick interruption. I just received an email from our friend Dave up in Idaho who says, right after my run-in with the county clerk, I've been called into jury service. I had to laugh because they really do not want me there.
Well, I know Dave, and Dave will take him a bunch of donuts, okay? So you wanna? Is that enough of an explanation on? I really wanted to touch on that because I just saw that the other night.
It was necessary. Yeah, no two ways about it. It was definitely necessary.
You know, it's important that we go forward. If we have a body of people that are wanting to know the knowledge, is that we try and get as accurate a knowledge out there as possible so that people have accurate stuff. And if you're going around waving this, you know, I'm under admiralty law and I'm a ship sailing on the land and all of that stuff, well, you're lost before you ever even start.
Yeah, absolutely.
You might as well not even go back up and warm up in the batter's cage because you ain't got no business going to the plate.
Oh, boy.
So there's a lot of mis and disinformation out there, and that's not being ugly to those people. I realize that this is complicated. I realize how they've set it up, probably far better than most, and that people have looked for answers for so long, for so many years, that they grasp at almost anything that sounds like it might be legitimate. But we got to go back and start having some accurate information that people know if you're going to have some sort of success, okay?
Yeah. Let's, if you'll indulge me here, you and I kind of discussed this. We've received two emails in specific this past week. And as I mentioned, not only to you, but to the audience, I've been, you know, I'm learning things from the quality of the emails that you and I are both receiving. I'm learning the right questions to ask in some respects. Sometimes you don't know, you know, you don't know what the answer is. You don't know what the question is. You don't know how to pose it. And I got to be honest, we've got some really sharp listeners out there that are getting it. So the audience knows, I've asked Roger, if scheduling it all allows, if he would join us again tomorrow evening, because two of these emails really warrant some in-depth discussion, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. The first one I want to cover came in from Ron down in Texas, who opens by saying, Roger, I've been listening to you and I'm about ready to file my declaration of status. Filing the document is easy, but I would like to know some of the ramifications of that action. Do I need to send a copy with a letter to every federal government agency or instrumentally? I think it's supposed to be instrumentally. I'm reading it as instrumentality, even those in the state that I have even been in contact with. Now, that's the basic question, but as you well know, he begins to break it down. He says, for example, and I'm going to take these one at a time and allow you to elaborate, do I have to divorce the state in the county where I got a marriage license?
I don't believe so, honestly. That doesn't mean you, I just say I don't believe so, and I'll tell you that's the best of my opinion. Okay, I think that's fairly trivial, although it may be important. You know, let me tell you what I envision here is that, and one of the, let's drop down to the bottom here is maybe we start at the bottom and work our way up. And he says, "Am I about to embark on a long and continuous trek through the courts of America?" And I'm going to tell you, Ron, I hope not for your sake, because it's going to be costly, and you're going to, you know, want to go commit suicide. If you haven't ever done that sort of thing, it is not any kind of a party. Okay. Got to the point, and this is part of the reason I left, honestly, because if that was facing me, and I did do a lot of court stuff, I fought the IRS in there in Atlanta a little bit, and it got to me where I figured out this, that you can't go hire an attorney because they probably don't know as much as you do, and they're going to charge you, and they're really officers of the court, so you got three strikes against you there.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're going to do it, you got to do it pro se, which means you're your own attorney. Now, to do that, you got to do all kind of studying because they trick you up and trap you up on procedure. So you're doing all this procedural stuff and trying to study law, too, and not being trained in it, and sometimes people win. They win on administrative snafus, generally, where they can catch them in one of the regulations or things they haven't done right, and that's a way you can win. But it got to the point where even if you win, you lose because they've stolen your life.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and that's a lot of the reason I left the country, I'm going to tell you, honestly. There's other reasons, but when you start coming to these concrete conclusions that are so plain on your face, and anybody that's done any of this jousting with them in court, you got to be a pretty special person to like doing that stuff, okay?
Oh, I would think
because,
so, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's designed to be a tar baby for you, okay? So, anyway, I wanted to come on that. I think, ideally, that if this information could be spread and understood, that if you could get a mass movement and attack these people at the administrative level, not at the court level, This is as we've discussed before. You'll take and hear the phrase. Sometimes you try and go into court, and they'll say you can't do that because you haven't exhausted your administrative remedies. Well, then the remedies, see, are in the administrative part. And
yes.
I think that's where you do the battle instead of trying to stay out of the courts. And ideally, if you did go to court, you'd go to court as a plaintiff by taking one of these administrative officers that's acted outside of his delegated areas of responsibility to court personally. Now, how far you'd get with that, I don't know.
Right? Interesting.
I know it can be done, okay? But I would think that in somebody like Ron's, I think it depends on where you live, you know? How long have you lived in that? How big's the city? How well respected are you?
Sure.
I would think if it was a small enough city, if it was me, I would think I would go and give a copy of that affidavit to the sheriff. Maybe after the book's out, give a copy of the book and the affidavit to the sheriff and to the county attorney or somebody in the legal department over the county and let them know that, look, this is my status and I'd like to get your feedback on this. You know, there's an old saying in the South that honey draws more flies than vinegar. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you don't go in there and pushing yourself around and going, I'm a sovereign and I'm the boss and you're the peon now. You know, you go in there nice and you present them with the information and, you know, almost like a Columbo, you know, oh, by the way, could you give me
one
a little
thing?
Yeah. You know, that's what Dave up in Idaho was so successful with. Hell, Dave goes up there and takes them all donuts. You know, and he goes out and buys day-old donuts. He doesn't even get fresh ones.
Day-old donuts do better dipping in coffee anyway. you know, we're gonna go on a break here in a little less than a minute.
I had to laugh, man.
It's okay. And I know that in some respects, probably going to that last question first. But the reason I want to bring up some of the other questions that Ron has asked is to just, once again, I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out there that are thinking in the same direction, and I'd like to let them hear the fact that they're not the only ones thinking this way. And we can either this thing to rest tonight, or it's going to go open up other cans of worms. And that's what every Wednesday seems to do here at Life, Liberty, and all that jazz. We could keep opening up new cans of worms. And I think the thing that I'm enjoying most, and I know you are, it's getting people thinking, and it's getting some people acting, and
well, that's
ultimately that's our goal.
You know, that is my goal, is to get people to learn how to rethink, because most people have lost that. Not everybody, but most. And that is a big thing for me. So yes, and I agree with you. You know, the old saying, for every one question, there's, you know, a whole bunch of other people that had the same question. So
yeah,
I don't mind
for
doing
every one
this.
Question, there's a whole bunch of more questions to go along with it. So you get
well, it certainly sick. Spawns that with this type of information, but it's powerful information. How much time we got before a break, Jeff?
Just
close?
Seconds before the music.
Well, hey,
comes
how up. About that, man? Intuition.
We'll do that. We got some music cranking. Enjoy the tunes for a moment. Roger and I'll be back in just a few moments with a whole batch of questions for you.
It looks like the ending, unless I can have one more chance to prove dear my life.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Welcome back, my friends, to Wednesday night installment of Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. As we do each Wednesday night, we concentrate more on the liberty than we do the life and the jazz. But I guess the liberty equates to the life as well. Roger Sales, our co-host for Wednesday evenings. Some more questions from Ron down in Texas. He says, what about the 501c3 churches that I've had membership in? I guess he's saying, does he need to send copies to these affidavits to those churches? I wouldn't think churches, but who knows, considering they seem to be in conjunction with the government anymore.
Conjunction with the government, but this is that more of that separation of church and state. You know, it's supposed to be separated for you, but they're got them into the IRS code where they can't preach anything about public policy from the pulpit.
That's
now,
right.
Note that, public policy. For public citizens, okay? And
right,
that's where
point.
You got more of this administrative stuff going on here, because where does your 501c3 comes? Comes from administrative regulations and the Internal Revenue Code. And when you that church signs up and incorporates and signs up for that, and why do they do that, Jeff? Do you know?
Not off
you
the
know,
top of my head today. Go
well,
ahead.
Let me tell you, I can tell you, so that the parishioners that make their tithes make it tax deductible.
Oh, well, of course. I was
see how they that's how they tie it into
that.
The loop. See, so but there's separation of church and state, except when we want it to be separate.
Sure,
it's separate for you. It's not for us. So, you know, more of this surf law stuff. I don't see any problems there at all, Ron, or anyone else that has that concern. And I know there's two schools of thought on 501c3 churches. Well, you know, is that the church you want to go to when you know all the stuff about who you are and what's going on? And, or is it you go and maybe have an opportunity to help educate some of the other people that are mistaken and going to those types of churches? And I understand these are personal choices, okay?
Well, and that's an issue because I, you know, and of course there's, I'm sure that if people really begin to dig deeply, I know of two churches in the Midwest, in Indiana in specific, that are both a non-501c3. One is pastored by a father, the other one by his son. It's quite interesting how they function. They do comfortably. They're out there preaching the word, not passing the collection plate, so to speak. And it's really funny because two nights ago I was up late working on something. It was last night, come to think of it. And that old movie with George Burns was on called Oh God with John Denver. And there's one particular scene in the film as John Denver has been sent by God out to present the answers to these 50 questions that this ecumenical council laid upon him. And he tells him to go, no, I want you to go see that loudmouth evangelist out there who's, you know, not doing one thing for the word, et cetera, et cetera. And it is probably one of the most mesmerizing scenes in the film, now that you get it, is to watch Paul Sorvino as this Southern evangelist whipping these people up into a frenzy, and how John Denver basically nails him. And so, yeah, I like the non-501c3s. If you can find them, I think you're going to find a better opportunity of getting the real word preached if that's what you're looking for.
Is that one of those Elmer Gantry type scenes? There's a fine non-501c3 church in North Atlanta. It's pastored by a guy named Joe Moorcraft, and I can't recall the name of the church right now, but anybody in the Atlanta area, I can get it to you if you're interested. Get a hold of me through Jeff, and I'll point you in that direction.
I think
he's been established for many, many, many years. Very successful church up there. They have their own school involved and all that stuff. So, let's see. How about voter registration in the counties where I voted? I'll tell you that John and Glenn, back in the old days before their vacation, got both registered in Utah as electors, and they got it done with that affidavit. And I'm not sure how much browbeating or how many donuts they had to take back, but they did get it done, okay? it's possible. See, here's this question is, we've got these two systems of government, and we haven't known until recently that both of them are still there. All right. And one of the questions Ron's asked here in a minute is, can they exclude me? Well, they shouldn't be able to exclude you because you're still there. It's just that nobody's been able to understand and how to claim these things and assert those rights in many decades. And, you know, some of you are just going to have to paint guinea pig on your forehead if you want to find out the answers to these questions and go out there and try and, you know, find a dish with some food in it.
Well, some of the other questions, and I know this one's come up by a good number of people dealing with all of these. Is he going to have to go ahead and submit his affidavit, et cetera? He says he's raising the question about driver's licenses, automobile title registration, land registration. If and how do all of these issues get dealt with, or do they?
Well, I can tell you once again with John and Glenn, and I was in contact with them today, they both got driver's licenses in Utah using this affidavit. Now that's a very interesting question because I didn't know anybody that had done that. And I'm not saying that that's not possible. I just didn't know anybody that had done it. You know, I've mentioned on here on these shows before that one of the ooh-ah moments I had was when the guy at the passport office wouldn't take my application because I didn't have a picture ID. And I had brought, says in the instructions, you could bring somebody that's known you for 2 years who has one, and that will suffice. And would not. He dug up his regulations off the shelf. He said, "This is only the second time in 8 years I've had to look into this red book." And he pulls down this red book and he thumbs through there and says, "It says right here, I don't have to accept that. I can make you go get one." And this girl goes, "Mike." She said, "I just got my kids these Florida state IDs a couple of weeks ago. We just go up to the driver's license division and get one of those." And I said, "Okay." And, we run up to the driver's license division And by that time, we'd figured out that I had the affidavit, and it was notarized and filed in that county, Bay County, Florida. And it had to be notarized for me to have a picture ID to get it notarized, and I also had my birth certificate with me. And so we explained that to the little gatekeeper guy, and he goes, go on back there. So we went back, and I handed the gal my affidavit, and she's the little clerk there, and she opens a scanner and starts scanning it in, and she's asking me all the questions. And she goes, are you a citizen of the United States? And I said, no. And she said, are you a resident of Florida? I said, no. She asked a couple of questions, and she's turning the pages and scanning that affidavit in. And she goes, that'll be $4, Mr. Sales. Go get your picture taken.
And I love it.
That was a real ooh-ah moment for me. All right. Because out of all of these years, and I wanted to make this comment on that, is, you know, there's a wonderful principle in life called commitment. Okay. And you know, I wish I had the saying, the quote, that nothing really happens without commitment. Because until you're committed to something, there's always that chance, even if it's subconsciously, for you to back out. Okay. Mm-hmm. And until you make that commitment, and there's no other choices, is when progress really starts being made. You know, I make the joke of it's like the pig at breakfast. You know, the pig is committed, but the chicken's only involved. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got to be committed. Okay. And that was what was really struck home to me, because I was moving to Argentina come hell or high water. All right. And I had to have this passport. And when you make that kind of commitment, and then I got the passport application, and that's where I saw these two statuses that I'd known about for 18 years, but now I saw it in a passport document I'd never looked before. You know that only like 15% or 20% of the people even have a passport in the country? It's some absolutely small, infinitesimal number. Okay. And so when I made that commitment to make that move, and do everything that was necessary within my power to do it, is when all this stuff started happening for me. And it's given me the tools to be able to put all this information in a perspective and get on these radio shows with Jeff and these other ones I'm on and get this information to you good people out there so that you understand, so that we can all collectively say, never again. Never again.
I'm trying to move this thing over, and it's giving me a hard time. All of a sudden, I've got myself trapped.
Okay.
The next question he raises is interesting because it deals with the bank issue.
Here's the network. That church is called Chalcedon Church. It's in Cummings, Georgia.
That's Joe
Moorcraft's church. So thank you, Wendell.
Yeah, pretty much so. Well, that's the neat thing about this, being able to get emails back and forth, even while we're on the program. And, you know, years ago I had a chat room when I was on the air, but I find the chat rooms become somewhat distracting to me, and I'd rather concentrate. But typically when we're on the air, some really good emails come in from folks. One of the other questions Ron brings up is one that has been raised to me as well. How, if he goes through this process, how will he be able to make use of the banks? He says, those are necessary to do business, as my customers will not pay me in gold or cash.
Understandable.
Now, I don't know what kind of business Ron is in, so, you know.
Well, I don't either, but this is another trip where, you know, that's your neighborhood banker. If you got a relationship with him, I'd go in and ask them and just say, listen, I know that you can get, or you used to be able to could get, a bank account without a Social Security number if it wasn't interest-bearing.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least I remember hearing that. And
yeah.
I'd go into your banker, who hopefully you have a good relationship with, and sit down and just kind of explain this to him. You know, part of all of these things is another chance to help educate people.
Right.
Okay? Say, listen, I got this situation. I just found out that there's two separate political statuses of citizenship in this country. And I've been under a misconception for a lot of years, and I've done this, and I want to know what you think about it and how it would fit into what your regulatory requirements are. You know, you're just going to have to go out there and find out for yourself by your seat of your pants on a lot of this, the same way I did with like this passport situation. That's the reason I used that story as an illustration. And man, I don't have all the answers.
Okay. Well, it's interesting you bring up, there's two key words you brought up in that last explanation. Regulatory requirements, I think, is what you said. Is that correct?
Correct.
Regulatory requirements?
Oh, man, banks are regulated from here to kingdom come.
Okay, but you know those two words become paramount instead of going in saying, what are your rules? Regulatory requirements, that becomes very, very paramount in the proper use of the language. Moving on, because obviously we run out of time here. And once again, I want the audience to understand, if all goes well, Roger will be back with us tomorrow night with an amazing series of comments and questions that came to us from Kay. And her last name is not Hutchison. And we're looking forward to covering her extremely well put together piece tomorrow night. So Kay, do join us again tomorrow night. Ron goes on with, I think you've pretty much answered the next question, but I'm going to post it because in people's simple ways of thinking, sometimes they can't put two and two together. Ron says, I live in a county that owns the water production. Are they required to supply water to me if I am not in the system?
Well, I would think so. You know, this is almost the reverse of, you know, when they say in Title 42, which is the Civil Rights Code, and I think it's 1960 and 61, I think in 1980 or 81, and they say that a citizen of the United States is entitled to all the privileges and immunities of the white citizens. Okay? So I think this is exactly like that. Just because you got this status over here doesn't mean they can exclude you.
Okay, good.
Because that's discriminatory now, isn't it?
Yep.
Because they've got this status, this U.S. national thing. It's listed on the passport application. It's listed on the I-9 application, which everybody supposedly that has any kind of employment has to have register one of those I-9 things. And it's one of the selections up there. And I've seen it in other federal documents. So this is their nomenclature. Okay? That's why I say, don't go around screaming, I'm a sovereign, because then somebody says, well, prove it. You're making the statement, prove it. I come in and go, hey, I'm a U.S. national. I'm this guy here.
Yeah.
Okay?
Good, good.
Prove that I'm not.
Yeah.
Because here's my affidavit, and nobody's ever disproved it in 20 years.
Two final questions, and I am, for, I guess, to some degree, personal reasons, I'm going to reverse the questions as in the way that they were posted. Ron says, if I use the 8-line postal location and refuse the 4-line mail address with zip code, will that stop their pursuit of me?
Not in the least.
Okay.
That's my opinion. I think that's, yeah, you know, patriot mythology. Okay.
I would agree.
Now the last one here, and this is the big kahuna, of course. You want to read it or you want me to?
I'll read it. It says, if I attach this, meaning the declaration, if I attach this to the notices of federal tax lien filed in the courthouse, will that override the notices of federal tax lien, even if they are several years old?
Not in the least. Okay. And this is what you got to understand. When or if you choose to file that document, that is from that date forward that you can have some solid ground to assert your positions on. From that date retroactively, you've been in a contractual nexus with them over here under this Uniform Commercial Code and using a 1040 form that you've signed under penalty of perjury that said you owe that money. So The answer is no. And I'm going to tell you, they're going to go back and take 3 years or whatever it is statutorily or regulatory now that they can go back and re-audit your returns, and they're going to knock out every deduction that you took, and they're going to pile on every ounce of interest and penalties that they can put on there. And then like they did with me when I sold my house, if they can do it, they'll take out another chunk as you're going out the door. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these people are vicious, and what you're talking about right, they're heartless and they're ruthless. And what you're talking about right now is the teeth of the system is that federal tax lien. Okay. That's the absolute teeth of the system. And what is it? What is a federal tax lien? What can they do off of that? You know, I've asked you this question a bunch of times, Jeff. Why do you think they file it at the property office, even if you're in a home that's rented? It's because you're the property that's filed against.
Yeah.
And what is it over here under this uniform commercial code that we said was the remedy? What's the remedy for any of their uniform commercial code actions? Lien, lien, levy, levy, seizure, garnishment, all of those things so they can come take your stuff.
Okay? It's interesting. We're having this conversation yesterday. I was working on something, and I had some music on my computer, and things began to go around in my mind, and what do? I go back to Pink Floyd. I've received an email from our mutual friend, Lewis Hughes. Lewis, of course, is a co-host of a broadcast here on RBN. And Lewis says there are almost no banks that will open an account without a Social Security number. However, they mistakenly believe that Homeland Security demands it. It can be done. Just keep asking. And that's the key, people, is to be persistent, not belligerent, but persistent in taking your life back.
Honey draws more flies than vinegar.
Oh, yeah.
Just ask Dave, man. Listen, just go to the donut store and buy yesterday's donuts and carry them in there. I laughed so hard when he told me that.
Well, you know, and my seven-year-old granddaughter called me yesterday. You know, my wife and her sister are out of town, and my young one called and says, "Dotto, can I come stay at your house tonight?" And we go to Dunkin' Donuts, and because that's our little place we go. And I'm going to start talking to them about hanging on to some day-old stuff for me. I think we've got some good use for it.
I'll tell you what, we can touch on some of Kay's stuff here because her very sweet email, very in-depth. You can tell she took a lot of time to write that before the show we went on. Kay, listen, I've got about an eighth Cherokee Indian in me too, sweetie. And her question was about the affidavit says I was born of white parents. And I've got a little bit of Cherokee in me from my mother's side. Actually, if you want to get into it, those are the original sovereigns.
If you want to really
use the term sovereign. And it's a case that you can go to that I haven't really mentioned because I've tried to keep things pretty well between the slaughterhouse cases and Wong Kim Ark. But there's another case back in the 1800s, and this case is called Elk, E-L-K, versus Wilkins. And it's about an American Indian who was on the reservation. I think it was up in Oklahoma or Nebraska, somewhere in the Midwest. And he came off the reservation and into town, and he wanted to be able to vote. And so he went to vote as a citizen of the United States, and the registrar wouldn't let him vote because he's an Indian. He's a sovereign. And he's wanting to go, I'm this new black citizen of the United States. And so that case went to the Supreme Court. And they said, hey, he's a sovereign, man. So that's kind of interesting. And, you know, when you go back and look at all of these, I'll show you how they leverage this relationship. Look at all of the gambling stuff on the reservations where there's no jurisdiction from the feds.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up because obviously in Arizona there's a good number of tribes, the Apaches, the Pimas, and others, and there's casinos all over this state. And there was a big issue here a few months ago because the state of Arizona is in major economic problems like most of the other states. And so they began an attempted investigation into the casinos. And the casinos, of course, were given a very specific status because of their sovereign situation. And yet the casinos, out of their own desires to assist the state, willfully turn over a goodly amount of revenue to the state. However, when one wants to find out what it is and the amount, it's a closed book. And quite interesting. Oh, yeah.
Isn't that?
Yeah.
Listen, I also wanted to, for the spiritual people, my source that told me about the Chalcedon Church in Cumming also told me, put this in here, he said, Peter Kershaw, K-E-R-S-H-A-W's book, The Church and Caesar. A look at incorporation and 501c3, and I'll repeat that. He said, the above book changed my life. Okay. Another fine pastor down there in South Georgia, Pastor Weaver, recommended it. That book again is Peter Kershaw, K-E-R-S-H-A-W. And the book title is The Church and Caesar, A Look at Incorporation and 501c3.
Mm-hmm. Great stuff. I, back in the early days when you and I first knew each other, a few people don't remember, I had a midday program on Worldwide Christian Radio. The program was called Uncertain Glory, and I did an entire 24-day-long series. This was a half-hour program that was more spiritually based, and we did an entire, literally, 12 hours over a 24-day broadcasting period dealing with this very issue of the 501c3 churches and rendering unto Caesar, and much of it was based on John Weaver's work, and a very good man. I had a good relationship with John for a lot of years.
Yeah, so, he's got a fantastic message.
No two ways about it. There's great information out there, and unfortunately, even most of us on the alternative media tend to say, no, I will be your source of information. That's a crock of caca for anybody, and it's our obligation to share with you as many possible sources. After all, we're all here for a reason. Raj, this has been a fast screaming hour, babe. We'll see you tomorrow night right here with Roger Sales on Life, Liberty, and all that jazz.
For that bitter, better sound is like a tapping sound. Yeah, it's a sound of joy lingering on. Over and out. Can't you hear the sound of joy and happiness coming over? We're getting to the stars. Shoop to we up, we up through, we up, we up, we up, and look who we indeed up, shitty up, we now. Grabbing everything that you really got, come along, never ever give it up, cause you'll get a little funny working on the sunny side.
All that jazz, baby, you are really too much. You've got the skin that I love to touch, the skin I love to touch too much. And all that jazz, you have got the lips that suit my taste, and your fingertips, they cannot be replaced. Oh baby, what you got, nobody has, and I got you.
Gold, ever climbing as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it